So welcome to the very first episode of Between the Stripes TV's League of Ireland Life Stories. It's myself, Kieran Burke, and I'm delighted today to be joined by A. Durbin of Longford Town. We're going to take a run through A.'s career so far in the League of Ireland, hopes for the future, and we're going to learn a little bit more about A off the field as well. Obviously, this is the very first episode of Between the Stripes TV's League of Ireland Life Stories, so just what you can expect over the coming months with more episodes like this. I'm going to be travelling up and down the country, meeting current and past League of Ireland players, managers and people involved with the league. And we're going to be doing these interviews for our YouTube channel, so make sure you hit the subscribe button now and you won't miss it. First of all, thanks very much for joining us. Before I go any further, I suppose we have to talk about the result last night. Very, very disappointing. Despite dominating the game for long periods, Longford Town lost out 1-0 to Shelburne at Tálaga Park.
Yeah, it was frustrating because the first 25 minutes it was cagey-like and they came out with us. And then after that, I think when we got over that spell, we dominated them and I thought we did everything but score in the second half as well. I think the only real chance they got was the penalty that they scored from. But look, we learned. There's a lot of positives to take from it and we'll learn from it going into Monday now.
Yeah, big game Monday here against Galway in the first division. A chance for Longford to go back to second and there'd only be a point behind Shell. So anyone in Longford watching this video, make sure you get out and support your local team. I suppose we'll go back to the very, very beginning for yourself. First football memory, where did the passion for football come from? Because even speaking to you off the field, I know you just love the game, not just playing for Longford, but you're obviously a really, really keen follower of football itself.
I remember getting a United jersey, I think it was about 3 or 4, and then I just used to play football in my hallway with my dad. Like, he used to just bring me outside and play football and play in the green and where I used to live, and just it was a pastime for me basically. It wasn't like playing PlayStation or playing Xbox, it's just playing football, and that's what I love to do, so that's where I got it from.
Probably not enough young kids doing that these days. Now it is all, as you said, Xbox, PlayStation. No one's getting out and getting a ball at their feet and learning the little skills we see from you every week.
Yeah, like, it's just PlayStation, Xbox, Fortnite. Like, I don't have the big fascination of it. All my friends play and I go on to it and I get killed straight away and then I chat to them, so it's weird. Like, when I was younger and all my friends were younger, we were out playing football, not even playing football, just wandering around, and now it's just inside talking through the headset. Like, it's different, but yeah, I think kids should be playing football more than they are now these days.
And first club?
Melview.
So how did you get involved there, and tell us just a little bit about Melview itself.
I went to Melview School, so I think they came, I don't know how I got involved there, and I went to Melview School and I was playing with them. My dad brought me to trains, I think it was under 6, under 7, and it suited my dad if I ever had to go to train with that with their jobs, and it was good. Like, all my friends played for Melview because we went to Melview, and just I wanted to be with my friends at that time, and then I just started playing these 7-a-side games, and the further we went on, I started to enjoy it more and more. So
what age did you start at, and what age did you finish at Melview?
I was 5 when I started, maybe 4 or 5. I went to Shamrock Rovers when I was about 9 for a month, 2 months. And then the travelling killed me. I think it was only in third class, second class. And the travelling killed me, so I came home and I played with Melview again. And then 2 years after the Kennedy Cup, I played for the CCFL team. Maybe a year after, I played for the CCFL team. And then been with Longford ever since.
How did that little spell with Rovers come about? Did they come down and see you in action and decide to bring you up?
No, there was an article in the Sun, one of the papers, and my mum seen it. And she knew I loved football, so she was eager for me to go up and try it, and I went up and I got there. They signed me for the first team. There was an A, B and C team, and I got signed for the A team, so I was delighted at the time. And then just at that age, you want to be outside playing with your friends, you're not used to traveling up and down all the time. So I asked my dad, can I come back, and he said, whatever makes you happy playing football. And I don't think my mum was too happy because, like, she just thought it was the best thing. Like, she just wants what's best for me. But I came back and it worked out even better than I expected.
I suppose that's a bit of a debate that's going on now at the moment within Irish football, with the new underage structures coming in at League of Ireland level. There's a bit of a debate whether young players should be taken away from their clubs and playing with their friends to go and play at that elite level and quite a serious level at 13s, 15s, 17s, 19s. Do you think that system is the best way forward, or should they still maybe be allowed to play with their local club at the same time? What's your feelings on that?
I don't agree with the 13s at all. I think we're too young. Like, you don't know your proper position. You don't know where you're playing, stuff like that. I don't agree with that at all. 15s, maybe a little, like the Longford Academy, I think that should be going a bit higher. Like, it's working great. Like, and if people actually invest into that and buy into that, I think it'd be a success. Like, if you look at the DDSL and all that, them winning the Kennedy Cups and that, because they've been together for such a long period of time. So I think if that academy gets running properly, that'll be a big bonus.
So obviously the DDSL now is going, or maybe going back to winter football as is junior clubs in general. Do you think that maybe summer football across the board is the way to go?
Yeah, I think, well, not even if everybody has the same time limit to play football, like same way to play football, I think that's the best way to run it off each other. So whichever suits best, but kids want to be out playing football during the summer, like with their friends and all that. They want to be going to training a lot, and especially up in the DDSL, it's very competitive at an early age. But like, I think whichever suits the rest of the leagues as well.
So first connection with Longford Town, when was that, or what was the connection?
My dad used to bring me to the games. He used to come out and play, come to the games, and I was about five, my first game, I think it was that, and I went ever since. I used to go over beside section O, the one beside it, the block beside it, and then used to sit there. So ever since then, I've been coming to games, being a fan, like, so it's just second nature to me now.
That must be a bit special now. Obviously, you're a massive favourite with section O, being the local lad, and the way you play, real passion and drive and big tackles, and they're singing your name throughout the games. That must give you a real buzz when that happens.
Yeah, it's surreal for the first few weeks. Like, I remember when I came into the team 2 years ago for the last few games, and just the noise of it, like, it's ridiculous, and it's something you're not used to, and it's something that you dream of when you're a child, especially coming from Longford, them singing your name. So it was something that I had to bite my tongue with, and I was thrilled to have it, like, but you get used to it and it goes on, like, you just try and concentrate on the game, you don't hear it as much, but it's great to have fans just singing your name.
So you broke into the team the season before last, and last season then was, suppose, your first real full season, and now second season, full season for yourself. Tell us about the memory you have of your first, when you heard you were going to start for Longford Town, or come off the bench in a competitive game for Longford Town.
I came off the bench against Wexford 2 years ago and at Lone, and then I wasn't really getting a chance then because we'd good players and it was competitive. But we played a friendly against Pats before the UCD game 2 years ago. I think we had three games left. Played a friendly against Pats, and I played the whole game of the friendly, actually. And the gaffer pulled me in, Neil, and he said, I think I'm going to play against UCD. So it was a shock, like, because I was playing with the 19s, just training with the first team, and then being told that you're going to start. I know the league, Waterford had the league won, but it was still the fact that you're getting into a first team. And I was shocked, and I was just prepping myself for it all week. So it was a really exciting week when I found out.
Was it a bit daunting making your debut in that game, because Waterford were lifting the First Division trophy that night? I think there was over 2,000, 2,500 at that game in the RSC. So was it a little bit daunting?
Yeah, I played against UCD the week before, I think. And then when I went to the RSC, it was mad. Like, I've never witnessed going from playing in Abbey Carton and playing underage games in Longford to 2,000 people. Like, it was mad. But it was a great experience. And I think it was good to get that experience under my belt so early.
And tell us about Neil Fenn. He's a player that really seems to work well with younger players. He must be a great manager to work with.
Yeah, him and Dara are great. Like, Neil gave me the chance when no other manager was giving me the chance. When Alan Matthews was here before Neil, I wasn't getting the chance. And then Neil gave me the chance, so only for him, basically, I wouldn't be playing first team football. So I can't say anything bad about him, and he's really good with young players. He just drives you on, like, and if you're down or something like that, you need to talk, he'll be there and talk to you, and that's what you want from a manager, especially when you're young.
Is being a local player, obviously it's great to have local players in the team, and you get that extra bit of support from the fans, but is it a bit of a challenge at the same time? You're one of the few players that's based here in Longford, so you're walking up and down the town every day, so people are stopping you, they're talking about how things are going. There's that little bit of extra pressure at times.
It's not pressure, it's just like you have to be very secretive in some things that you do. Like, you can't really step a foot out of line and people will be talking about you then, even if you're just messing with your friends or something like that, people will be talking about you, saying, oh, why is he doing that, why is he doing this? But it's not that bad, like, it's normal, like, it's just people say well to you. Even some people don't acknowledge you, don't know who you are, but I don't mind that. Like, I like that. I don't want people coming up to me all the time and all that. It's just I'm doing something that I like, and I don't think to be should be loads of attention on me for either, like.
And obviously social media is such a big part of the game now. Is that something as well players have to, especially younger players like yourselves, that's something you have to be a bit careful with?
Yeah, like, you can't just be putting up any sort of pictures that you want. Like, you have to be careful what the pictures are, careful what you say, like, because there's always eyes everywhere. So it's something that you have to take into consideration. Even when you're trying to bite your tongue not to say something, it's still something you have to take into consideration.
Do you generally stay off it after a bad result, or do you go and see what people are saying?
I generally stay off after about an hour. I'd put in my headphones after a game, and then after that I'd go on my phone and see who was slaying who and what happened. But yeah, I generally try and stay off after a game, especially if it's a bad result.
Yeah, and does the club ever speak to the players about that at the start of the year? Did they say, just look lads, bit of cop on?
I think the gaffer just briefly said it, like, I think he just, before we came in, like, I don't think he was aiming at anyone, I think it was just when we were in, just to know your limits, and you have the likes of Conor Kenna and Dino and Paulie there for experience, so they'll just, they know what's right and what's wrong, so it's good to have people like that as well to learn off every day.
So, moving on, you've had a small taste of international experience. I know you were in some of the underage home-based squads, but a lot of Longford fans are wondering why you haven't been in the first teams as such at underage level. You've been one of the standout performers in the first division. Do you feel the fact that you're playing first division football that maybe your performances aren't getting the respect they deserve?
I don't know. It's sometimes I do, yeah. Sometimes at the start, I just thought because people were coming home from England and that, it's like, right, you'll get your chance, keep plugging away. And then, not the last squad, the squad before, I took a bad now, and Sam pulled me over and knew I was a bit taken. The gaffer said it to me, and they just talked to me, so it's sort of, you sort of get by it eventually, like, it's a learning curve for you. And, but I think the fact that I'm not playing in the Premier or I'm not playing in England is something that might hold against me. But, like, we play the same football as people in the Premier Division do, and we're just as good as teams in the Premier Division, so it doesn't bother me anyways, because if I'm playing football, that's the main thing.
Yeah, well, you're certainly catching the eye. I go back as far as pre-season. I was up in Dundalk for when Longford got a 2-2 draw against the champions. And after the game, I was speaking to a couple of Dundalk players and management team for Between the Strikes TV. And they all said to me, who's the little number 16 in midfield? They were all asking. And even after the game last night in Talca, a lot of the Shells lads were asking about you. So you're certainly catching the eye. So if you keep it up, I'm sure honours will come.
Yeah, I just try to ignore stuff like that. Like, I just want to keep my feet on the ground, which you have people around you that do that in the team, like Leeser and Chamber and everybody else. People like that, like, just even talking to them, they'll keep your feet on the ground. So just playing football and just trying to play better every game that I play. So I'm just happy to be playing football, as I said before, and just keep playing the way I am, hopefully.
And let's have a chat about this season so far. So obviously Longford made their best start, a record-breaking start. I think it was 10 or 11 games unbeaten to start the season. Top of the league, game in hand. Last few weeks now, three defeats in four games. Is it just a little wobble you're going through, or should we be concerned?
No, it's just a wobble. Every team has it. Like, you look in the Premier League, City had it, Liverpool had it. It's just a little wobble, and like, the mood hasn't changed between us. We've great lads there with experience, we've youth. And we're all sticking together. So it's just a little wobble and it happens in football. I wouldn't be too concerned about it at all.
And for anyone that hasn't seen you play before, what would you describe as your best attributes?
Probably my fitness. I'm fit.
Really?
I like tackling. I like getting around the place. I can improve on stuff, and I can improve on the ball. I can improve on many things. But yeah, I like getting around the place, making myself busy.
You're one of those midfield players that does a bit of everything. And obviously, your strong tackling is well known. But you probably don't want to be known as one of those players that's just strong tackles, because you're very, very good on the ball as well. So you're trying to be a bit of an all-rounder, is it fair to say that?
Yeah, and I try too hard to do that sometimes, like looking for the spectacular pass when it's not on, little 5 yarders, but I've sort of came to terms with it, like, just do what you're good at. Like, I look at Fernandinho and all that, and he rarely goes long with the ball. He just keeps it short, keeps it simple, gets up and down the pitch. So it's people like that you look up to. And like Dino beside me, he never loses the ball. Like, I lose the ball more than him, he never loses the ball. So I just look at him, see what he does, little 5 yard passes. And again, you have people talking to you, like you've Conor Kenna, Dean Zamber again, that are talking to you, telling you to keep the ball, make it easier for yourself. And I'm starting to do that, and it's starting to help me a lot.
For a Man United fan, you've dropped the names of a few City players there already. So have you had trials in England at any stage yet?
No, I never had. I heard that, I don't know who it was actually, I was supposed to go over when I was about 15, and I never went over. But it's something that I didn't really take notice to until the day it comes. I'll just never take notice to it really.
Yeah, that's one of these local things, I suppose. It just takes off when one person says, I've always heard you've had trials over there, but no, not the case. Have you played over there with any representative teams, Kennedy Cup squads or anything like that?
I went over with the Future squad when I was 15. I went over to Brighton and went over to Brentford, and the setups are really good there, and it gives you a taste of what you want to do, like, and it just spurs you on and drives you on. So yeah, it's something that I want to go over eventually. Yeah. I do want to go over eventually. I want to try and get there, but at the minute, I'm just focused on Offertown and just playing every week.
One thing I always say when I'm talking about good young Irish players going over to England, it's not the be-end and end-all either, and we've heard Stephen Kenny saying that since he's come to the international setup, that he thinks more players maybe should look to European football. Is that something that would interest you if an opportunity ever arose?
Yeah, it would, but I think it's hard to get seen in England, but it's hard to get seen by clubs like that. But it definitely would interest me, and it's not the be-all and the end-all. You see people coming home, going over at such an early age and then coming home again, which I'm sort of happy in a way that I haven't went over, because I've learned and I've matured playing with older players with me. So I'm happy that I haven't went over yet, but it definitely would interest me going over to Europe, yeah.
Are you doing anything off the pitch away from football, setting up yourself for many, many years ahead?
I'm just working in the gym at the minute. I'm just trying to concentrate on football for a few years. I did a PLC in Cavan this year, but I always said after that I'm going to take a year or two out of college and focus on fully football.
Very good. And just going back to that about, I suppose, playing abroad, English football sometimes, a lot of the time, especially at the lower levels, League 1, League 2, it doesn't seem to suit some of our Irish players that go over. One player I'm really thinking of when I'm saying that is Patrick McElhenney. One of the best number 10s in this league, one of the best maybe the league's ever seen, and he went to Oldham and it just didn't work out. Patrick Hooban's another example as well. If you were to go to England in the coming years, do you feel your style of play would suit the lower leagues if that's where you were to go?
I don't know. It's different. Even when you're playing against Dundalk and that, they give you a lot more space on the ball. They sit off you a bit. So I have a tendency to go chasing everything, go looking for the ball, press high, but it's something that I'd like to try anyways, try to experience it and learn. Because even it's a learning curve at the end of the day. Even if I come home, it's a learning curve. If I go over and I come home, it's a learning curve. But I don't know, it's hard. I've never really thought would it suit me or anything like that. I'm eager to go over and try it.
And you mentioned playing against the likes of Dundalk there, and obviously Longford had some great cup results in recent years, knocking out Sligo 2 years in a row and beating Shamrock Rovers in the League Cup. So you've played against the top quality opposition in this country. Would you say there's a gulf between the First Division and the Premier?
It's more on a football basis in the Premier. It's a battle in the First Division every week. No matter who you play, you see results. If you play Wexford, if you play Athlone, if you play Shells, it's just a battle. Football comes into it, but you have to win your battle first before in the First Division. In the Premier, who I've played against, it's all football. It's all two-touch, fast-paced. So they both challenge it, but in different ways.
Would you ever see yourself playing in the Premier if it wasn't with Longford?
Again, it's something that I want to play at the best level that I can. I want to go full time, so eventually, yeah, I'd like to, if Longford aren't in the Premier, I'd like to go on and try it, but at the minute we're pushed on a promotion spot, so hopefully it is with Longford.
Yeah, most definitely. But just where am I going next? I can cut this part. I should have wrote down my questions. Is there anything else I can ask you about
Melview, outside football, anything?
I think I fairly have you now, I think. Thank God this is on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
I'll just ask you about the First Division and we'll round it up then. So just before we go, I suppose again we'll just touch on the season that's been, because as you said, it's been a real battle in the First Division, and I was given an interview to Shannon's side this morning about the First Division this year, and one thing I had to say was there's no whipping boys in the league this year, whereas in last year Longford were putting 6 and 7 past the likes of Athlone, Wexford were getting beaten quite easily. This year Wexford, while they're not winning an awful lot of games, they're only losing by the odd goal against the bigger sides. Athlone, you've played against them twice and they give you two really tough games, so you know the quality there. Cove as well can turn any team over on their day, as they showed last night against Bray. It's a really competitive, unpredictable but exciting First Division this season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's more enjoyable to play in this year than last year. If you see, we went down to Wexford and bet them by the skin of our teeth. We went down and they made it really hard for us. As I said, they made it into a battle, which it suited them. We wanted to play football, we wanted to try, but then in the second half, at half time, we were told, win the battle and then we'll go and play football, keep it simple, and we did that. But you see, as you said, there's no whipping boys this year like there was last year, so it's more competitive, makes it more exciting going into each game.
And look, we're sitting here in great facilities at the City College Stadium. The pitch out there has been mowed as we were coming in. It's in great nick. The stadium itself looks fantastic. New seats gone in, new scoreboard. More people from Longford should be coming out here to watch football, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I don't know why they don't. They'll go to watch the Gaelic and it's not on as much as the soccer is. Unless I'm missing out on something, I don't understand why they don't come out. You see clips on Facebook and all that. You see them every week, the Save Lee Med. I don't know how many how many views that got, and it's still people don't come out. But I don't understand why, but hopefully we keep getting our results and keep bringing crowds out.
Look, I know your teammates will be watching this. They like the old social media stuff, I have to say. So tell us a few bits about your teammates. Who's the funniest in the dressing room?
Funniest? Either Lee or Chamber, definitely, yeah.
Lee or Chamber.
Biggest moaner?
Probably me.
Really?
Yeah, probably me.
And what's the music choice like pre-match? Who has the say over that?
Chamber. Chamber's over the music, he's the speaker, even though his phone sometimes cuts out and all that. But
what does he usually go for?
Fit a dance, just to get everyone in the mood for it. No rap, nobody really likes rap before a game, it doesn't really get you up for a game, but yeah, Chamber's on the music.
Yeah, it can be a bit annoying trying to do interviews here sometimes with some of that techno going on from the dressing room.
Yeah, but it does get you up for a game, like, and I wouldn't be a big fan of it, but before a game, though, that's why I'd want to listen to it, get you up for it, get you in the mood for it. But like the rap is just it's mellow, if you get me, like, and you're just trying to psych yourself up yourself, but the music does help.
Seems to be a great group of lads there. Obviously I've been following the club a long, long time now, and there's been teams here before where you'd think that some of these lads care, or they're just here for a paycheck. There mightn't be that connect between the fans and the players, but since Neil's come in, there's an amazing relationship between the fans, the players, the whole club is just on and up since he came in. Seems to be a great bond between all the players in that dressing room.
Yeah, there is. Like, even last night, it's Dara as well. Dara brings us over. He makes sure after every game we go over to them. And even, as you said, it's a great group of players. Like, there's nobody that doesn't get on with each other, that doesn't see eye to eye or that. Like, everybody's as close as each other. And we enjoy each other's company. And I think that stands to us on the pitch.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks very much. And best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.